Good morning. This is listener-supported public radio. You are tuned to KBBI Homer, AM 890. The time is 9 a.m. I'm Kathleen Gustafson, and it's time for the regular Thursday COVID brief. On the line, let's see, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. Are you there?
I'm here. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning to you. Now, I want to start with you because I know you have a very busy day ahead of you and you're going to duck out early. I have a question that is for you and you alone, which is that someone wrote in to Kathleen at kbbi.org and asked, now that appointments are open for those who want them, is there any plan to have any site in Homer supplied with the vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, that can be administered to teens 16 and older?
Thank you for that question, and we were asking that just yesterday ourselves as we were offered the opportunity to get some Pfizer here. And the issue with Pfizer is that it is the most difficult to transport, store, and use in a timely fashion because of its very limited shelf life and its very restrictive storage requirements. So the state did offer us some Pfizers yesterday, and we did agree to order. I think we ended up ordering 100, and so we do expect to get some Pfizer sometime in the next couple of weeks. We do not know when yet, and when those become available, we will announce that and put that on the website. So to folks listening that aren't following the different brands, just so you understand, different manufacturers have emergency use authorizations from FDA based on the studies that were conducted in the clinical trials that they agreed to. And so when some of the different vaccines applied for their authorization, it was based on studying a certain population group of those who'd got the vaccine. So Pfizer is the only one that applied for 16 years and older and got authorization for using Pfizer on individuals 16 years and older. The other two vaccines that are currently in the state of Alaska, Janssen and Moderna, those only got authorization for 18 years and older. That does not necessarily mean that that vaccine is not appropriate or does not work for younger. It's just at the time of applying, that was the clinical data that they had collected and submitted to the FDA for review. So at the moment, Pfizer is 16 years and older, Moderna and Janssen is 18 years and older.
Thanks for that. And I got some information from you about the Janssen vaccine coming. There'll be appointments coming up Monday at noon. And this one is a single dose, correct?
Janssen is a single dose. And I would like to help people understand, because everything's evolving. And when this all first started, when vaccines first started, there were long lags between the moment that we learned what we were getting, and then we would post those appointments, and then it might be weeks until those appointments that actually happened. And you're going to see it look a little different over the next couple weeks. So I might on the radio say one thing, and 2 days later, it's a different story.
Welcome to my world.
So the state is very lucky right now to have a lot of vaccine availability. And every day they make different updated decisions on where those vaccines get allotted to. And so at the moment, there are no available appointments through South Peninsula Hospital's allocation, but we will be making the Janssen ones available starting Monday. Now, I need to tell you that there aren't very many Janssen vaccines that will go onto that website on Monday. But at any moment, we expect to learn from the state that there are more Janssen vaccines coming our way. So it's a constantly changing thing. And all I can ask people is to check the hospital website frequently if you are looking for an appointment. Check the city's vaccine call line frequently. Or there are other vaccine providers on the Southern Peninsula, and they also are in a situation where they might be offered vaccines at a short notice by the state. And so staying up to date with them as well.
And just to make it clear, go ahead, Jenny.
Yeah, hi. Dorotha, I have a question on that. See, I learn new things on this show, too. When those appointments go live on Monday, When are you offering the shots? Is it in conjunction with an already scheduled pod, or do they come to the drive-through clinic?
The shots will be offered on Friday, March 19th, and they are just being added. Since there's so few, they're just being added to an existing event.
And I want to be clear to people that when we talk about the Janssen vaccine, that is also the Johnson & Johnson company vaccine, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And Dorotha, are there still appointments available for this Monday, March 15th?
I'm not sure what the question is. So there's a big clinic tomorrow.
Right.
There's a big clinic tomorrow, and all of those appointments are full, but we do have a wait list on the website, and so you can go on and put your name on a wait list, although the wait list is capped, so once it is filled, then we would stop collecting names, but we just cap it at a reasonable amount of who might get called in. So that is for Moderna vaccines at a big event tomorrow at the Homer High School. Those names also will be used to do standby call-ins at our vaccine and testing site on Bartlett Street. So Tuesday, we started by appointment daily vaccine clinics at the vaccine and testing site on Bartlett Street. And that's going very well. We're averaging about 50 to 55 appointments a day. And right now there's no availability at any upcoming ones, but that has rolled out very smoothly. We're pleased with how that's working, and we anticipate any time we get additional allocation from the state, in addition to doing mass events at the community-wide level, making some of those available by appointment at that site, because that allows for greater flexibility for people's schedules, because they're open until the evening, they're open on weekends, and just really provides great access to the community as if somebody wants a vaccine.
Well, thanks, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. If anybody has any questions, they can call 235-7721 or email kathleen@kbbi.org. I've got my email open here, and I'll ask those questions. But Dorotha, I know you are on short time. Is there anything on your list today that you want to get out there before we go over the regular info about getting yourself tested and how and getting signed up for an appointment? Because everybody is now eligible. There's no real question about whether or not you can get the vaccine. It's a matter of getting an appointment.
Yes, and so an easy way to remember that, anyone living or working in Alaska. So that's the eligibility group. So two things, I'll kind of do a good and bad news. So we'll start with bad. Bad news is positivity rate is increasing on the Southern Peninsula. So for the hospital's testing site, we are at 3.2% positivity compared to a month ago where we were at 1%. That is a little bit of a climb. And that's just a reminder to everybody that COVID-19 disease is here and people get it and people get sick with it. And so we just need to remember that. We've spent the last couple of weeks really focused on vaccines, but let's not lose sight of the fact that it is still here. Testing is still available 7 days a week, 9 to 6. On the other side, some great news is that CMS announced yesterday some new updated guidance for nursing home visitation, and it relaxes it a little bit and allows some more flexibility in visitation in nursing homes. So our nursing home and incident management will be reviewing those today. That just came out last night, and hopefully by next week can have some updated visitation at our long-term care.
Thanks. That's Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. Dorotha, I think we're coming up on your 10 minutes. So that's thanks so much for being on with us this morning, and I'll check back in with you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye, Dorotha. On to Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services and the Homer Public Health Center. Good morning, Nurse Lauren.
Hi, Kathleen. You sound great.
It's good to hear your voice. I was wondering if you could put the state positivity rates and such in perspective. They are rising as well. Is that correct?
Ooh, I don't have those numbers at my fingertips, but I can tell you that the state of Alaska is almost at 58,000 reported cases thus far. So that's prevalence to date, 301 deaths. And then down here closer to home on SKP, we've had 670 cases to date and holding at 3 deaths.
Okay. I do have a question for you in my email queue. Why Dr. Ann Zink announced or put out a statement a couple of days ago that said that Alaskans had Native health organizations to thank for the vaccine rollout being so successful. What did she mean by that? What is it that Native health organizations were doing that has made it better for everyone in the state?
Oh, that's a good comment. You know, I can't speak for Anne, but I do know that, you know, our Alaska Native partners have been working on creating and sustaining a statewide tribal healthcare system for several decades. And so this particular tribal healthcare system is the largest in the United States, serves about 180,000 people in our state, and actually has a presence in about 229 different villages. So that and their partnerships that with the state of Alaska and other partners, really, in distributing vaccines along with other services like comprehensive well childs for the past few decades, what that means is the tribal healthcare system has a lot of practice in this kind of business.
Okay, thanks for that. And a little later, if we have some extra time, I have a more open-ended question for you. But Jenny Carroll, I want to switch to you for just a moment, because I want to ask about, at the last city council meeting on Monday, Mayor Kastner was speaking about improvements being made to council chambers in preparation for letting people back into chambers. Can you tell us what kind of improvements are being made, and is there a timeline for opening up city council chambers?
Sure, I can answer that question. Let's see, what has been changing in Cole's chambers is that due to social distancing requirements, and that will probably be with us for a while, the city decided to reconfigure the dais that the council members sit at. And so it's a little larger, allowing a little more space between council members when they're in session. And there's also plexiglass dividers between the seats so that there is that other additional level of protection. The spacing between them and the, the clerk, and also for people speaking to council, that's all had to be rearranged to accommodate this larger dais. So those pieces of furniture have been built and installed. And then with that, an upgrade of the technology that allows us to Zoom and see everyone on the dais and hear people well with the acoustics and audio. So right now the furniture is complete and looks great in Cole's chamber. And what we're working on now is putting in the IT piece. So microphones, cameras, screens, those pieces. And that supply chain has been really backed up, like many supply chains.
Oh, right.
Used to not being able to get things as quickly as we used to. And we're having trouble getting a couple of pieces of equipment. One particularly is microphones, believe it or not.
Oh, I believe it, so because everybody needs a mic in their house now.
Right. And these are, you know, have some specific requirements for the system. So those, we're looking for an alternate product because we've been waiting for those to come in for a while. And when we find those, hopefully we'll be able to get them in. And I'm sorry, I cannot give you a time frame of when that will happen, because it's really somewhat out of our control as to being able to find that product and figure out from the supplier when it can get here. But I can tell you the electricians and our IT department are down there actively working, and so that when those come in, we'll be ready to roll.
Thanks so much. That's go ahead.
Yeah, we'll still have social distancing. I would imagine that we'll probably have some hybrid type meetings where we'll still be doing Zoom. It's very convenient for some people, but at this point in the stage of the pandemic, we do have a mask requirement in city buildings still. When we open up, we'll see where we are with the pandemic and CDC recommendations, and we'll follow those in any kind of public meetings that we have.
Thanks. That's Jenny Carroll, Information Officer for the City of Homer. I also wanted to ask about activities at the Herc Building. Are they still going on?
They are.
People
are still going on.
Making reservations. You have to make a reservation still?
That's right. Activities at the Herc, I just talked with Mike Ilg. He said it's going great over there. They have two-hour slots available for reservations. There can be a minimum of four people per reservation and a maximum of 12. I know that there's various kinds of activities that go on there, and you can submit your request online on the City of Homer website through the community recreation site. You can go on and book a time. And if you have any further questions about what's available there or how to sign up, you can call Mike, our recreation manager, at 399-6090. He tells me that, you know, some days are completely booked, and so people are getting in there and enjoying that space and being active. But other days, you know, there'll be, there are slots available. So I know it's being well used. Just like I said about when we do open Kohl's Chambers, masks are still required in the Herc. We are definitely following CDC guidance for these activities.
Thanks. That's Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer and Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center. The next question I have in my email queue, if anybody else wants to ask, that's Kathleen at kbbi.org, or you can call 235-7721, is about immunity. So this person who wishes to remain anonymous says, so do I get 90-day immunity if I've had the virus? Is the same true for the shots? And will there be booster shots? Are there plans for booster shots for people as we go forward, Nurse Lauren?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll take them in reverse. Booster shots, you know, we don't know yet, but that's likely. And it's likely because of the variants. There are other countries that are already working on boosters that are focused on variants that are circulating with high incidence there. But, you know, in terms of CDC's, kind of guidelines that, you know, after you have infection, you might be protected or have protection for about 90 days, you know, like, it's really likely more on the order of about 180 days, and we'll probably see CDC shifting their guidance on that probably here pretty soon. However, they haven't done that yet because of the variants, which impacts that as well.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, and I was just saying specifically, or one of the contributing factors is we've seen a lot of repeat infections in South Africa.
Right. So have we seen repeat infections yet in the state of Alaska?
Oh, yeah, sure thing. And we're keeping a close eye on it. But that's not something that we've numbers haven't been big enough yet. But the section of epidemiology is considering on reporting on that. It's just taken time to figure out how that might look like and if they're going to do it or not.
Thanks, Nurse Lauren. So I have an open-ended question here in my email. So the question is simply, what is a virus? And I can't wait to ask you this because I'm tempted to jump in and say what I learned on the COVID Riff on Sunday on KBBI, because I was listening to you and Dr. Rob Downey on Sunday talk about this very thing. And I was surprised to find that a virus is not alive, that it's not a living thing, because I was assuming that was true. So what is a virus, Nurse Lauren?
Yeah,
I know how much time have you got?
Yeah, I guess the short Google answer and then a couple of thoughts are is, a virus is, quote, and it's an infective agent that typically consists of a nucleic acid molecule in a protein, and it's too small to be seen. So that gets into biology, but really, a virus is an infectious agent that can't live on its own. And so that's kind of key to the pandemic and key to ending it, is that it needs a host in order to survive and also to replicate. And then finally, it's looking to spread. And so this kind of makes me think about vaccine and vaccine available. This is our chance to get out of the pandemic. And we've been working to this point. And vaccines are safe and effective. And up to this point, over 95 million doses have been given in the U.S. with zero deaths. And then here in our home state, about 300,000 doses have been given and zero deaths. So this is very safe.
Thank you so much for that. Now, I am hearing people, because now I have lots of friends who have had the vaccine and acquaintances. And I am hearing, that you might have a sore arm, or at worst, a couple of people have complained of brief fever and nausea. But what kinds of have there been serious adverse reactions?
There have been, and across our country, we're seeing serious reactions like anaphylactic reactions at a rate of about 5 per 1 million. And so that's really important when considering for you and your family the risk benefit. Because with COVID, what we know is about 25 to 30% of those people who get the infection will develop kind of a long-term COVID implications. And what I mean by that is longer-term signs and symptoms that go on for weeks or even months. And then other consequences, of course, include hospitalizations or even worse death.
And I just got a question in that asks, what if, how much protection does a person who's only had the first dose of the vaccine have?
Ooh, that's a good question. And that's unknown because within the trials, the folks, almost every person within the trials had two doses, so that's not been studied. So the implication is perhaps there is some protection, especially after about 7 to 10 or even 14 days after the initial shot, but the amount is unknown. Anne Zink would say there's no vaccine with no effectiveness. So even if you're only going to get one dose for any reason, that's still a positive good thing.
Thanks. Now, I think it's next week is spring break week, or it might be going on now. So there's going to be lots of traveling. I want to make sure to check in with Jenny Carroll from the city and Nurse Lauren Carroll. You are the is the recommendation, Nurse Lauren, that people take a test before and after travel? And that is that inside the state and outside the state?
The recommendations still remain the same. And to keep a close eye on the incidents, I actually pulled out those. You'd asked me about rates. Alaska's rates are at about 16.6 or 7. And what that means is it's a high alert. And you know what high alert means is that transmission goes on undetected and there are quite a few discrete or unknown outbreaks. And I'm highlighting that because there are many parts of Alaska that are still in high alert, and that's something to think about. So if you're getting out and traveling and say you like snow, then consider staying outside and/or keeping a distance from others that are unvaccinated. CDC has released some new updated interim public health guidance that says you can now visit with folks from one other household that are unvaccinated. But if you're mixing with more than folks from one other household that have been unvaccinated, then that would be something to avoid, or keep it outside and keep your mask on.
Thanks so much. I just got another question in. Oh, wait a minute. Was that Jenny Carroll from the city? Did I hear you?
I can hear her thinking.
Oh, you hear her thinking. Well, I will check back in with you in just a moment, Jenny, because I just got another question in. I had heard that pregnant women are not recommended to get the vaccine. I have an anonymous question that's come into Kathleen at kbbi.org asking, what's the most up-to-date science on seeking pregnancy while also being vaccinated?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, I guess I would say, first of all, pregnancy is a high risk condition. And that means if they get sick with COVID, there's more likely to be an outcome that's really bad versus someone who's not sick. Like, of course, the baby could be injured or worse, death related to infection. But there's other factors that go into that, like pregnant women aren't tested in the trials, and that's by design because CDC has maintains that pregnant women are very protected. However, CDC actually keeps track of pregnant women who get the vaccine, and right now in the U.S., I think we're up to about 30,000 pregnant women who have chosen to get the vaccine. And what we're seeing, and we don't have enough data yet, but what we're seeing is suggestive that perhaps pregnant women have even less side effects from the vaccine than folks that aren't pregnant. And in regards to babies and antibodies, one exciting piece that we're looking forward to is will the baby get antibodies or protection if mom receives the vaccine? But we don't quite know that yet.
Okay, and obviously you guys are sparking a lot of thought with the listeners because I just got another more of a comment in at kathleen@kbbi.org. So this is Nurse Lauren. Are you saying that if everybody just stayed home for 6 weeks, that we could kill the virus because there are no hosts to send it to?
Well, first of all, that wouldn't work because economically we would collapse. And, economic is one of a long list of wellness factors in order to keep us pointed towards our own personal and community potential. But in terms of the virus itself, if every human stayed away from other humans for 14 days, then we'd be in the clear. But of course, that's theoretical and it couldn't happen. An example would be a household of two or three. Isn't likely to keep away from each other for 14 days. It's just not feasible. But yeah, those are kind of funny theories that we like to think about with other disease processes like tuberculosis.
Well, it does help me visualize that it's removing the possibility of transmission that or mitigating transmission. That's really one of the things that's helping us the most.
Yeah, that's a
and
good
the
point. And
guidelines
in
that the
terms.
Go ahead, Jenny.
Sorry, Mark.
Go
Yeah,
ahead.
the guidelines that are out there are, certainly less severe than, stay away from anybody for 6 weeks. But it provides, the mask, the social distance. Even when you were talking about travel, doing the test is one of the mitigation factors. If you've traveled to a place that may have higher rates of transmission, go ahead and get that test when you fly back into the state, and social distance strictly until you get the result. There are variants out there that are not widespread in Alaska, and it's just one of those ways that we can kind of imitate but not really stay away from each other totally for 6 weeks to really, it's shown to keep the lid on COVID-19. And if we can do that while we're increasing vaccine distribution, we'll be in a much better place to really relax more of these mitigation measures going forward.
Thanks so much. That's Jenny Carroll, Information Officer for the City of Homer. Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center, do you have any final information that you'd like to share or comments?
Oh, yeah. Just thinking about, visualizing one kind of thing that's really cool to visualize, think about, and celebrate is the state of Alaska. Of course, we're way bigger than Texas, so we've got a lot of room. We actually have 240 remote villages. And when thinking about folks and partners like Port Graham and Namwalik who are across the bay, these are small communities of, roughly 200 folks. And they've managed through social distancing and distance away from other people to keep their prevalence of COVID. I think I'm saying this correctly, but they're at zero cases. And so that might help visualize.
Thanks so much. And thanks to everyone who called in with or wrote in with questions. This has been the regular Thursday COVID brief. Thanks to Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center. Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, did we leave anything out in terms of information from the city?
No, I think we covered it. Really great questions from everyone today. Thanks.
All right. Thanks to everybody. I want to remind you that you can make a point, get an appointment at sphosp.org or contact your favorite local pharmacy or your healthcare provider for information about availability of the vaccine. Everyone is eligible as long as you are 16 years of age or older.